Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It's the team that will dictate what happens after the NFL draft. We will get into that here coming up in just a couple of moments from now. He is Jeff Schwartz. I am Jonas Knox. In for Clay Travis. This is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. You can listen to us, as always, on the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates, wherever you are taking part in this. Welcome in. I hope you are having a beautiful start to your Monday, as we take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. And ladies and gentlemen, he is a man who is still scrambling to try and save a vacation for his family. He is none other than Jeff Schwartz.
I am. I actually had someone tweet me a good idea, like St. Thomas does not require a passport since they're a U.S. territory. So maybe we'll salvage this in the end. Disney, obviously, I think, is like zero chance to happen. So maybe by the end of this show, we'll have someone give me either tell me the best way to get my son's passport renewed, or we'll have a new destination for our trip.
Yeah, and for those of you that are just tuning in, by the way, you can check out the podcast later on. But if you're just tuning in, Jeff did not realize after booking a trip to Turks and Caicos that did I just say Turks and Kinkos or whatever I just said?
Who knows? Sounds better than where I'm going.
Yeah, that's more doable. But your son's passport expired in October. You were not aware of that. And so here we are scrambling to try and save a vacation.
I did not book the trip, but I'm going to take the blame for it because I'll take it off her plate.
If you didn't book the trip, this is the time when you do want to place blame, all right? Because an entire vacation is going to be ruined because somebody didn't do their due diligence.
Yeah, but the entire vacation is only ruined because my wife wanted to go with the kids. Like, we're still going to go on vacation, and the kids don't know because we didn't tell them that we're going. So, like, it's just ruined. We just personally know it's ruined. It doesn't ruin our family.
Okay. I have got just the solution for you. All right.
And do not say Hawaii again.
No. I'm not going to say Hawaii. You've already urinated all over the state of Hawaii based on not wanting to go on a 10-hour flight.
I like Hawaii. It's a long way from home.
Okay. Here's what you do. Use this as a teaching moment. All right. Wait for your son to make a mistake this week. Wait for the kid to make a mistake this week, and then just say, you know what? How dare you? We had an entire vacation planned for you.
No, absolutely not.
Why not? You don't think that would set the tone later on in life?
My son does not make mistakes.
Okay.
I need to blame him.
It's the old broken window theory. We don't care what it is. If it's a broken window, you're going to jail. Like, it's the old broken window theory. Like, he could spill, you know, a bowl of cereal on the ground. You could step on a Lego trying to use the restroom. Whatever the case may be, use that as exactly why this vacation was ruined, and you can use it as a teaching moment.
But he doesn't even know that we were. I know. No, absolutely not. I'm not torturing my kids by telling them that they ruined a trip that we had planned. Dude, if I did that to my son, he would be distraught. For like, he's the sweetest little boy. It would ruin it. My daughter would probably just didn't even care, but it would ruin my son, like completely destroy him. I would never do that to him.
Look, I'm just coming up with solutions here.
The solution is my wife and I are taking a trip, and our kids are staying at home. That's the solution.
Very, very good. All right,
I just don't know where we're going yet.
Yeah, and we will try and identify and maybe get an answer to all of this before the end of the show. What we don't have an answer on here is what the hell the Atlanta Falcons are going to do at number 4 atop the NFL draft. By the way, the Atlanta Falcons, who look, Arthur Smith is there. GM Terry Fontenot, he is there. And the reports out of Atlanta, or the reports according to D. Orlando Ledbetter, who covers the Falcons, does a great job and has been covering them for a long time, is that they are in lockstep. They are in agreement on what the plan is at number four. Unfortunately, we don't know what the plan is. And to me, Jeff, tell me if you think I'm wrong here. It's one of three options. Either you're taking a quarterback of the future, either you're taking a non-quarterback, or you're trading out of the pick at number four.
Yeah, so I think a lot of it will depend on what the Niners do at three. I think there's a possibility the Niners take Mac Jones and Justin Fields is available at four. The Falcons do go with the quarterback at four. I think right now their plan is to draft Kyle Pitts and continue to help Matt Ryan out with as much, because Matt Ryan can still play, and he's not bad. I think we look at the Falcons and their lack of success, and we blame it on the quarterback. He's been pretty much the same quarterback his entire career, outside of the 1 year he was the MVP when he was at his best season. But their defense is atrocious. That's why they keep losing. And so if you add Kyle Pitts, then you add Matt Ryan another weapon, I think that Matt Ryan can play for three or four more years. There's no reason to go get a quarterback if you don't need one. If they love Justin Fields, and they have Justin Fields as, let's say, the second graded quarterback in this draft, and they really feel like they want him and he's there at four, they might take him. But I would imagine Kyle Pitts is probably graded higher than Justin Fields. At that point, you take Kyle Pitts at four. But I think there is value in trading down. There is almost, you're almost never wrong trading down.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they trade down to nine, Broncos are eight or nine, I believe. Let's say the Broncos trade up. You can still get a player that can help you right away at eight or nine. And so there's plenty of options for them, but I think it does depend on what the Niners do. If they take Mac Jones, there might be a thought that Justin Fields is their guy. Otherwise, if Justin Fields is taken at three, there's no chance they draft a quarterback at four, in my opinion, and they could really trade out of that spot. But there's so many things that they can do, and it will set up what the Bengals do at five. And this is why I love the draft, right? This is something we won't know until draft night. We don't know what the Falcons are going to do unless they're totally out on a quarterback whatsoever, and they'll trade it before then.
Here's what I think. I think the 49ers drafting Mac Jones increases the value of the number four pick, because I don't think there's as many teams that are as high on Mac Jones as potentially would be high on Trey Lance or Justin Fields.
But that's if the Falcons don't want Justin Fields. If they don't want Justin Fields, then yes, the value is, if, to them, it doesn't matter at that point. If they want Fields, they're going to take Fields. But if they're willing to move out of it, then I would 100% agree with you. So, if they do not want Fields, someone will offer them a deal to move up to four.
Agreed.
The question is whether or not they like Kyle Pitts that much.
Okay, how much longer is Matt Ryan? And I know the contract, and listen, there's so many details of different contracts, but I think it feels like what makes the most sense for Atlanta is that Matt Ryan's there another 2 years. It, from my understanding of the way the contract breaks down, the structure and the get out of the contract. So if Matt Ryan's going to be there for another 2 years, you know you're not going to draft a guy that's going to sit for 2 years in today's NFL, most likely. How much longer is Matt Ryan going to be a quality quarterback in the NFL? Because there are times where I look at him and go, oof, he's on the downside of this whole thing.
I think if we look at what Arthur Smith, the new coach, had done, did with Ryan Tannehill and in Tennessee, and we saw his ability to get him into a great spot to be successful. A lot of play action pass, a lot of design shot plays, just an easy flowing offense. Now you add in Matt Ryan, who is more physically gifted than Ryan Tannehill, who's been better his entire career than Ryan Tannehill. I think there's a lot of potential for Matt Ryan to be really good in this offense. Obviously, he's more of the kind of old school quarterback, right? Who's not going to move very much. I mean, he can still get out and boot and stuff like that, but he's not running for first downs very often. So, it does help the defense that Matt Ryan is not as mobile as other quarterbacks. He makes up for it, obviously, with his arm. But I think there's two or three years you get some still really, look, players are playing much longer right now. They are able to throw the ball much longer than they have. We don't see any drop off quite yet as arm strength. I think that there is a lot of potential for Matt Ryan to be really good in this offense for two or three more years. And with him under contract, if I was Atlanta, I'd go for it. I draft Pitts, or I move back four spots and take the next best offensive weapon, which they have a bunch of wide receivers. So maybe you look defense at that point, and you take the best corner available at 8 or 9 or wherever you can trade back out of. But the question becomes, how much do they like Kyle Pitts instead of draft picks? Are they in win now mode where they must draft Kyle Pitts to help Matt Ryan win now, or are they more comfortable with moving back, getting picks, and maybe just going all in on defense and trying to rebuild that defense?
Well, what about your guy Penei Sewell? What about him as an option at number four?
Probably not. I mean, they got Jake Matthews at left tackle, and they just signed. They just drafted Caleb McGarry 2 years ago from out of Washington to play right tackle. You can move Caleb inside, but they're pretty much, their offensive line is not bad. That's not their issue. I think if you look at their roster, I'm looking at it right now, I mean, Hayden Hurst is their number one tight end. Okay. Lee Smith, who's basically a glorified offense. Lee Smith is what every offensive lineman wants to be. Lee Smith is out of he's in Buffalo, right? He's like 285 pounds. He just comes in for blocking. Like, he just is a blocking tight end. And then every now and then they throw him the ball. Like,
that's
four
great.
Times a year he touches the ball.
Yeah, it's great.
He's what an offensive lineman's dream is, right? So they have him at tight end as well. Yeah, so adding Kyle Pitts, I think, would obviously help Matt Ryan. I don't think Penei Sewell's in play there for Atlanta just because of their offensive line's not what they need to address at that spot.
Okay.
I mean, defensively, drafting maybe Patrick Surtain would be the way they could roll. Not at four. I think if they drop back to switch to the Broncos later in the first round, that's who they would go for.
So let me ask you this. If you were Atlanta and say you've got a couple of choices here, and you're running Atlanta, and Arthur Smith and Fontenot call you up and say, Jeff, put down the gambling apps, get off Fox Bet or whatever it is you're doing gambling wise, and let's focus on the draft here. How do we play this? If you're Atlanta, Justin Fields is sitting there at four. Are you taking a quarterback? Are you taking a non-quarterback, or are you trading back? What would you do if you were the Falcons?
I think I would look to trade back. There's so much research that trading back is almost never a bad thing.
To your point, if it's Denver and you're still in the top 10, you're gonna have a quality player sitting there.
Yeah. And then you pick up a draft pick either for this draft or next draft, right? You just continue to build your roster. Yeah, there's almost, once you get to position players, you can still pick up, man, a stud player 8 picks later that can really help your team. Now, if they determine that Kyle Pitts is that big of a difference maker in the NFL, and he will make Matt Ryan into MVP candidate, and he'll help his offense. But again, I don't look at this offense and think to myself, this is the reason why they've struggled for all these years. I look at the defense. So maybe you trade back, you get Patrick Surtain out of Alabama, the corner, and then you pick up an extra pick this year maybe, or next year, or maybe you pick up an extra second round pick this year and you get yourself a pass rusher. And you end up just building up your defense and being able to really help your team that way. Because I think Matt Ryan has 3 years left of good quality football. He's been playing good football. And you need players. You need dudes on your team. And one way to do that is trade back.
And that was the bizarre thing about why the defense was struggling, because Dan Quinn was the defensive guy. It was odd to see that, okay, defensive focused team, but you just could never figure out that side of the ball. It's actually similar, ironically, to where Arthur Smith came from, to where Mike Vrabel's a defensive guy, and Tennessee's defense stinks. They're awful.
They have the same problem, both those teams do, is they just couldn't develop pass rushers. And Tennessee couldn't rush the pass. They were 32nd last year in pass rush. They were 32nd on third down. And Atlanta has they draft attack. They had Vic Beasley. They were just never able to develop those points. Now they had some injuries in the back end of their defense, but they just never developed players. And you have to hope that Arthur Smith and crew can be better at developing talent. And Vrabel, I think, kind of had that issue. Well, just couldn't develop pass rushers.
He's Jeff Schwartz. I'm Jonas Knox. In for Clay Travis. This is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us on the iHeartRadio app. Coming up next here on FSR, there's a certain fan base. You knew this was going to happen. They're upset now. They're starting to vocalize how upset they are. All we were trying to do is tell the truth to start the show. That's all we wanted to do is tell the truth. Wanted to be a little bit honest here on Fox Sports Radio. But unfortunately, very, very sensitive people out there listening to the program. We'll have that for you next here on FSR.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
He's Jeff Schwartz. I'm Jonas Knox. In for Clay Travis. This is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio and live from the Outkick Studios. Coming up here in, we'll call it about 10 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. Something happened in the world of sports on Sunday, and I have no idea how it actually happened. Because if you think about it, it's pretty difficult to do. So not a good look for one team. We'll have that for you here in about 10 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. By the way, we were talking about, Jeff, the issues for the Tennessee Titans and their inability to rush the passer and being as bad as they were. And it makes me think of Jadeveon Clowney, who, according to reports, and Josina Anderson said that covering the NFL, that Jadeveon Clowney is set up for a second free agent meeting with the Cleveland Browns on Monday. And I don't get the Jadeveon Clowney love. I honest to God, I don't understand.
I don't know why you need a second meeting with the team. Like, what are they meeting again about this time?
I think they're trying to figure out if it's true. They just want confirmation that he did in fact have zero quarterback sacks last year. I think that's really what they. I don't get the Clowney love. I don't know in the bowl game. I get it. The hit against Michigan in the bowl game. Other than that, what are we talking about?
So here's why. Obviously, the hitting into Michigan play, I think, plays a big role in how we view him because, his athletic talents are always there. And he has had games, going back 2 years ago when he was with the Seahawks. Remember they played that, I think it was Sunday Night Football, Thursday Night Football against the Niners. He just dominated
Monday night. Okay. Yeah, and I remember specifically.
He had like 11 hurries, right? Like three sacks. He just dominated. And when you have a player that's that talented, that's what people think can always happen. If I get him on my team, I'll fix him, right? I'll get him right. And, draft slot matters a lot to how teams view you. I dealt with this as a seventh-round draft pick. There were players that I was better than later in my career, but they were drafted higher than me, and they got the time of day, and I did not from teams because of your draft slot. That matters an awful lot because teams are arrogant. Their egos are very high, which I get, right? Like you have to be arrogant to run a pro sports team, I think, and just your ability to coach and draft talent and make. So the Browns think to themselves, hey, man, we'll get him in our system, and in our system, and our coaches. We'll get him right now. He's not going to have a big deal, so it's a little bit less of that happening now. But that's a thought process, right? It's like we'll get him right. It's our coaches know what to do. Our program will get guys right, and that's where the love from him comes. But I think that they're really in the NFL. There's not a lot of love for him because obviously we'd see him be signed. It's a premium position, and no one will sign him.
Yeah. Well, and look, Jadeveon Clowney, I covered him in South Carolina. My first radio job was in South Carolina, so we did a lot of stuff on the Gamecocks and Clemson. Yeah, and so he was a massive recruit for Steve Spurrier because he came from, I believe it was Rock Hill, where he went to school.
He went to Northwestern, I believe.
And his high school highlight tape, Jadeveon Clowney's unbelievable.
Well, I remember.
One of the opening plays is him playing running back, and he breaks off like a 98-yard touchdown run. I mean, he literally looks like an adult playing with children, and he's 17, 18 years old in high school. So all the talent, all the gifts are there. But here's what people forget about the Jadeveon Clowney at his time in South Carolina. maybe only 1 year was he the best defensive lineman on that team, because Melvin Ingram was there, and Melvin Ingram was better than Jadeveon Clowney. Kelsey Quarles was a guy who was really good on the interior for South Carolina there. It was just all about his potential, his Javon Curse-type freak-like athleticism. And if you go back to that bowl game in which he makes that hit on the Michigan player and you know, the helmet flies off, if I'm not mistaken, Taylor Lewan dominated him majority of that game
probably
for Michigan. But we never talk about that. We just talk about the hit.
I think we get – NFL people are – you know, and we're getting less like this, I think, as we're moving into you know, a more analytical way to view players – is they just get enamored by the size and physical tools of players. And it's as someone who was never physically imposing, but never someone who was you know, all that physically talented compared to my peers, man, it has always frustrated me, because I always felt that what mattered most was how you play on the field, not how you look coming off the bus or how fast you can run. And there are still teams that value things like, hey, we can make him into a better player because he's so athletic. And I get that. I get that concept. But, you know, the NFL now, there's less practice time. There's less hitting in practice. There's less time to prepare. A lot of it's done on your own, not really with the team anymore. And so those guys, man, they have a hard time coming to the NFL and being great. There's not as much time put in technique work, not as much time on the field to get better. And so he's high. I'd rather take a defensive end that is getting me 10 sacks a year than a guy that might get me 17 one year. You know what I mean? Like, I just want the consistency. I like, you know, I go to a guy like Brandon Graham of the Eagles who, you know, just, I think he's got 10 sacks like one time in his career, but dude, it just brings it each and every week. I'd rather have Brandon Graham than have Clowney.
Well, it's like I think it was Marcellus Wiley and was talking about, because he was teammates with Bruce Smith, and him and Emmanuel Acho were talking on Speak for Yourself about just the career of Bruce Smith, and he's got 200 career sacks. Yeah. And Marcellus Wiley said, look, don't think about it like he had 20 sacks for 10 years. He had 10 sacks for 20 years.
Yeah.
He's all, when you think about it like that, it completely changes how you view his production. And that's why he's the best to ever do it when it comes to the numbers.
Right. And I think like that, and the thing about Clowney is that, you know, the Browns, for example, because we're using them. And look, they don't need Clowney. This is part of it as well, just from the Browns' perspective, right? He's just an they don't need him to win. It'd be nice to have him. And maybe playing with Myles Garrett and playing with Sheldon Richardson and you know, playing with that with that line helps him become a better player because less attention is in his direction. It's a commodity for them, but you're right. I'd rather have, I looked up Brandon Graham for the Eagles. Yeah, he's the most sacks he had in a year is 9.5 sacks. Okay. That was the year they won the Super Bowl. But dude, he is a guy that each and every week is going to pressure the quarterback.
Yeah.
He's going to affect the game with his ability to tackle, his effort, his hustle. I would much rather have that guy than have, again, a guy with tremendous upside who 1 year might get 19 sacks. I think that's our point, is that Clowney doesn't really bring that effort like Brandon Graham does each and every week. It would make, you know, if he impacted the game more than just getting sacks and a couple of pressures, then he would be signed by now. Because, again, premium position. Teams need pass rushers.
It reminds me of the Josh Gordon thing. Like I, every time Josh Gordon gets signed and or released or signed again, it's like, oh man, big signing. And I'm thinking to myself, dude, he had one good year and it was 2013.
Yeah,
like, I mean, how long are we going to hold on to this ceiling of Josh Gordon before we go, hey man, we're almost a decade past that point. Why are we still bringing it up?
Yeah. And you know, in his best season, look at his best year was better than any year Clowney had.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
1,700 yards.
Agreed.
On the Browns
in 14 games. By the way,
I'm glad the NFL has stopped with this the weed testing. Like, come on, guys, let's be real. Like they, I'm glad. So that's done with. What happened to Josh Gordon should not happen again in the NFL. Thankfully, that's silly that a player, who otherwise, correct me if I'm wrong here, otherwise has never not getting in trouble, just smokes a bunch of weed. Which guess what, a bunch of players do in the NFL. So
see, I thought there was a time when it was more than just the weed. I think it was the booze too. Like I thought that was. That he had issues with that. But again, I don't think it's the extreme use that we've seen other players maybe have troubles with.
I did hear that he was suspended for substance abuse. It's just, again, I'm glad the NFL has moved away from testing for weed like that. A player should not lose a career because they smoke too much weed.
He is Jeff Schwartz. I'm Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis from the Outkick, the coverage studios here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in about 12 minutes from now here on FSR, Jeff pointed something out about one of the top prospects in the draft, and it got me to thinking. It got me to thinking about where were you when this player was accomplishing this. So we will have that for you here 12 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. By the way, Jeff's got an issue. Here's the problem. We opened up the show and we took a pickaxe to the Masters because it sucked. It was not entertaining. There was nothing juicy about it. It was just kind of bland. And congratulations to Hideki Matsuyama, who's going to be. I mean, there's reports out there he's going to cash in big time from all of this. And good for him.
Good,
absolutely. Yeah, awesome. And so happy for him. He played fantastic. He was the best player on the course, and he was really, really good when he needed to be in the final round. But the tournament sucked. I mean, it was boring. There wasn't a lot to it. It wasn't all that exciting. And so we just wanted to tell the truth about it here on Fox Sports Radio. And so now, because you have got issues when it comes to your vacation because your son's passport has expired and you're not sure what you guys are going to do now, a guy writes in and says, how about Jeff takes his family on a golf vacation and he can share all his vast knowledge of the sport with them? All right, so there's that option that's being thrown out there. And as you mentioned it, golf fans are not happy with some of the criticism that we've levied out. Not happy at all.
Join the list of people that don't like me. Congratulations. now I can add every team's fan base and also now golf fans. Guys, just admit it. Admit it. It wasn't that great yesterday.
Another guy writes in. It says, two guys who couldn't break 200 at Augusta National are taking a tire iron to the Masters in golf.
Okay,
awesome.
Congratulations. I'm not good at golf. like congratulations. I can't play Major League Baseball either. You think about golf. Okay, I like golf. I like going out with my friends and playing golf just because, I like being outside and it's fun. Like, all right, I would suck if I played at the Masters. The course would win, guys. The course would win. The course would beat me. I'm sorry.
I love the you're not good at it, so you can't talk about it. You know what else I'm not good at? Shooting up heroin because I've never done it. Does that mean I can't speak out against it? Like, what's happening here? Having a conversation.
I think part of it was, that there wasn't as much star power at the top as as we've seen in the past, which, we've talked about golf having a little bit of an issue, but, I just think, for large periods of yesterday, basically before 15, hole 15, there was no drama. Hideki was up by 4, 5, 6 strokes most of the day. The players that started the day up at the top with him had dropped back. Now, Schauffele came back up to the top for a second before he tripled 16, but it just for a while, it just was not very exciting. And guys, it's okay. Like, there was no, in the entire round yesterday, do you remember a memorable shot a good shot, not one that went in the water? Is there a memorable shot yesterday by any of the leaders that you can say, hey, man, remember that shot they had yesterday? There were good shots, don't get me wrong. But it wasn't a memorable shot.
I kept seeing people tweet out Zalatoris, and I'm like, what is that, like an over-the-counter medicine? Like, what is Zalatoris? It sounds like one of those erectile dysfunction medicines that they promote during some of these it's this forcing it on, as opposed to just sitting back and saying, yeah, not our best performance. This wasn't our best tournament that we put together.
And I think, too, we just saw the Masters in November, too. So like the idea that, and people were saying, well, it's the Masters. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the golf is. Like we did just see see this a couple months ago, and look, and the greens weren't very green. I'm sorry, golf course enthusiasts, but I mean, look, I watched it yesterday. I'll watch it with the Masters when it comes back next year. But it's okay to admit, yesterday wasn't the. I did win money though, gambling on it. So I guess I should thank the golf gods for enabling that to happen.
Look, I told you, I'm a diehard MMA boxing fan, man. Pacquiao Mayweather wasn't the greatest fight in the world. I didn't take offense to it when people cried about it. When people said, "Oh my God, this is we all this hype built up for Pacquiao Mayweather and it didn't deliver," I didn't take offense to it. I agree with you. Some of these golf blowhards just have to take their medicine. It's, you know, there's nothing wrong with being critical of your own tournament. It's not that big.
I love the guy said to me, "I would shoot a 200." Yeah, I would. Like whatever. Like
that's I don't think I could shoot a 200. I swear to God.
I played nice courses before. Like I've played Pinehurst. I did that last summer. I'm actually going there in a couple of weeks again. I played TPC Sawgrass a couple of times. Like it's fun, but I'm not good. I don't like pretend to know what I'm doing. And like it's just fun to be outside. And I have a cigar when I play and I relax and enjoy myself.
You have a beer?
I'm not a drinker. No, not a drinker. So I'll have a cigar or two. Maybe two if I'm feeling up to it. If I feel like my round's going really bad.
So you're not a drinker. You don't drink at all. Like you don't, just not consistent or not.
No, I haven't had it. I don't drink. I just don't. No.
Okay. Chiefs won the Super Bowl. You were there in Miami. Yeah, celebrating afterwards.
We partied till 4 a.m. in the Chiefs hotel. Not a single drink I had.
Really?
Yeah. Pitbull performed, dude. It was awesome. He performed for an hour and a half in the team hotel.
See, I would definitely need a drink if I was watching Pitbull. Like, I'll be
honest. No, I was just like, it was probably more surprising that I stay up till 4 a.m. at a Pitbull concert than it was the Chiefs coming back down 20-10 and so with 7 minutes left the Super Bowl. Like, it was probably the more the surprise. My wife was like, "You're still awake at 3:30 watching Pitbull and you were sober?" I was like, yes, that's correct, yes.
Wow, yeah, that is very impressive. By the way, you know what else is impressive? I just want to quickly mention this. That the Denver Nuggets let the Boston Celtics go on a 31-3 run at one point during their game yesterday. How is that possible? Literally, how is it possible to get outscored in a race to 34, 31-3 in an NBA game? I don't know how that's even possible.
I mean, I've never played in the NBA, so I don't know if I'm qualified to talk about it. But I think you just... It's a regular season, and you just don't.
It's got to be that, right? It's not out of not being talented enough because Denver's a good team with really good players.
Denver scored 8 points in the fourth quarter.
It's like it's got to be an effort thing, right? It has to be an effort thing.
I mean, they scored. Yeah, they scored. I'm looking right now. They scored 8 points in the fourth quarter. Yeah, I mean, I think maybe the season gets a little long sometimes, and you're just like, I don't know, just we don't have it. We don't have it. That's the thing about the NBA, right? Is like sometimes it's like, oh, we don't have it tonight. We're gonna be done. But the NBA to me, and I don't know if it's because the Lakers are all hurt. I'm a Lakers fan. I just feel like I really wait till the postseason to really invest in it emotionally because it feels like no matter what happens, I mean, even the Lakers, look, if the Lakers get back AD and LeBron healthy, who cares where they end up in the West? Like, it doesn't matter. Yeah. And that's, I think, part of what's the NBA is why the playoffs are so much fun. The regular season just feels sometimes like just long and drawn out.
He is Jeff Schwartz. I am Jonas Knox. In for Clay Travis. This is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, one of the top prospects in the draft got us to thinking about where were you when he did this? We'll have that for you here next on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He is Jeff Schwartz. I am Jonas Knox, in for Clay Travis. This is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Clay will be back tomorrow here on the show. Expect a full recap of the sporting event that you had to be at this weekend. And no, it was not the Masters. It was WrestleMania in Tampa Bay. So you know, if you want some inside information on how that event all went down, make sure you stick around. Clay will be back tomorrow here on Fox Sports Radio. So
2-day event, by the way, too.
Yeah,
2-day WrestleMania.
And they had weather issues the first night where they had to delay it a few minutes. There was thunder and lightning. I can't remember the last time there hasn't been a weather delay in a Tampa game outside of the Super Bowl. Seriously, like every single September, doesn't it feel like the Bucks games get delayed because of lightning?
There are many things about football that are brutal. A weather delay, like you get all warmed up, and then you have to go like sit in your locker, and like you're all taped up. And you're just like sitting there waiting. And the preseason is the worst. I had a 2-hour rain delay in the preseason. Just cancel the game. Like, don't even play the game.
It's funny. I was talking to a Bucky Brooks this weekend. Him and I were working, and he was saying that he had one weather delay issue when he was at North Carolina playing ball. And he said, no, it kind of throws you off. He's all your entire routine, everything just completely thrown off just based on the fact that there's a little bit of a lightning storm. And we warmed up, then had to stop, and then have to try and figure it out and get back out there. Yeah, it's brutal.
It's not fun. But, yeah, so, you know, there was Tampa and what they expect. It's a thunderstorm season. So.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it got off, and look, I don't watch much wrestling anymore. I watch a ton as a kid, like the Attitude Era. But man, they still got staying power, man. They got a lot of fans, and they're making a ton of money. Good for them.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So, Jeff Schwartz, you had mentioned Penei Sewell, one of the top prospects in the draft. And you talked about how he won the Outland Trophy for best offensive lineman, when he was 19 years old.
Yes.
Right. So 19 years old. And I was thinking about this. At 19 years old, what were you doing? All right, what specifically were you doing at 19 years old, just so we can feel less accomplished than Penei Sewell as he gets ready for the draft later this month?
So I played that season, my sophomore season at college, at 370. I was big and fat. And so I remember that we didn't have like a nutritionist. There wasn't like a... Like, there wasn't like it is now. And so I had to lose weight on my own. So I remember that entire, like right now, that's that winter and spring when I was 19 in my sophomore season, I would go work out at like my gym at night, like at 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. every night at the like the elliptical machine at my apartment complex. And weirdly enough, okay, this is some... That was Kevin Durant's 1 year at Texas. And he was on like every single night that Texas played. I've never watched more of one prospect in my entire life than I watched Kevin Durant that year. It was me and elliptical every night watching Texas play basketball.
And that was your
that's how I spent my sophomore year in college when I was 19.
Well, at 19 years old, I was a busboy at TGI Fridays. And so every time I hear about one of these great athletes at that age, whether it's Kevin Durant or Penei Sewell winning the Outland Trophy, I just think about me bussing tables and spraying down tables and booths inside of TGI Fridays at 19 years old. That's the difference.
I just think every job like that's like the movie Waiting. It's just...
You're not that far off.
Just shenanigans nonstop.
You're not that far off. Everybody dates everybody. You know, all the stuff behind the scenes. You are not that far off. That's not a stretch at all. A lot of accurate things about that movie. Not everything, but some accurate things about that movie for sure.
This was
a fun one, Jeff. I don't know what the hell you're going to do for Turks and Caicos, whether you guys are just going to go without the kids, but figure that whole thing out, and then we'll do it again soon, my man.
Sounds good, buddy.
Always fun filling in for Clay, for Danny and Chris and Eddie Garcia and Dub. We appreciate it.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.